So this weekend, across the United States and truly around the world, the subject of Jesus Christ is being talked about. Especially the cross and the resurrection. And every time I begin thinking about the cross, and every time I begin thinking about focusing on what that cross means, I have to go back to my Bible. And I have to go back and start asking myself the question, do I understand what that sacrifice really meant? I'm one that realizes that if I rely on what my previous understanding is, I'm going to miss out on what God wants to share with me for today. And so our question for this morning is simply, why did Jesus go to the cross? Why did he make that sacrifice? In an effort to understand, I'd invite you to take out your Bibles and go with me to John chapter 17. Now, when we talk about the Lord's Prayer, we usually talk about the prayer that he gave on the Sermon on the Mount. But in John 17, we have a much longer prayer. It is the prayer of Jesus Christ. It is his prayer, his final prayer that is recorded for us before he goes to Gethsemane. And in John 17, verse 1. It says, Jesus spoke these words, lifting up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you. The hour has come. As we read our Bibles, we discover that that hour was prophesied long before in history. That moment was what all of the sacrifices in the sanctuary system had pointed to for thousands of years. The hour has come. It is as though all heaven had been having this date, this time, this event on its calendar highlighted. And it was as though Jesus is saying, at last, the hour has come. And then he says, glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you. Now, when we read this, we start having to ask a crucial question. Glorify your Son. As I read this, I had to grapple a little bit because we're always taught that we should never try to put ourselves on stage. Isn't that right? We're not supposed to put ourselves up front. We're supposed to be putting who up front? Jesus Christ. But now Jesus, our example, is saying, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son so that your Son may glorify you. Glorify. What does glorify mean? It simply means exalt. Perhaps put the spotlight on. Bring out to full view. Father, glorify your Son so that your Son also may glorify you. We start realizing something that I think is important for us to comprehend. Because it's far too easy for us to decide, okay, I'm not to be out front so I can just sit back in the back and not do anything. I can just humbly sit in my home where nobody sees me, and I will fulfill the humility of Christ. Father, glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. As Jesus goes on, he helps us to begin to realize why he wanted so badly to be glorified, why he wanted to be lifted up. There's a text that says the Son of Man must be lifted up. Jesus said, If I be lifted up, will do what? I will draw all men unto me. My mind has been challenged by the mindset that we have so often had as Christians, that it is not our responsibility to be seen in this world. What did Jesus say about that candlestick? Do you light a candle and hide it under a basket? Certainly not. He said you are to put the candle on a candlestick so that the light may be shining in all of the house. So we as Christians might be discovering that it's time for us to come out of our comfort zones. It might be time for us to go out there and be seen so that our Father will be lifted up. Jesus went on in verse 3. Actually, in verse 2, he says, as you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. Now, I would challenge you to study this passage sometime this afternoon or this week, because there is a major theme that runs through this prayer of Jesus. And the theme is, Father, you have given people to me so that I can give a special gift to them. Let me repeat that. Jesus says, you have given them to me so that I may share with them. There is somehow a divine principle of heaven that we are given responsibility for individuals. And heaven provides us with gifts so that we can share them with someone else. You can't share with somebody if they can't see you, generally. It's more effective if you are in contact with them, going to them, sharing with them that which God has given you to share with them. We begin to realize why Jesus wanted to be glorified. Because if people never see Jesus, they will never be inspired with his love. If people don't see Jesus, they will not be attracted to him. And now he's going on in this, in verse 4, he says, I've glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. Somewhat perhaps of a fascinating side note, but there are those who wonder whether Jesus existed before he came to this earth. Glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had when? With you. Before the world was. So what is Jesus praying for? He is thinking about the glory that he had before he came to this earth. And he's saying, Father, glorify me together with you. With that glory that I had with you before the world was. Why does Jesus want this glory? I will take you to the end of Jesus' prayer briefly. And it is fascinating to me as we go to verse 24. He says, Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me, for you have loved me before the foundation of the world. And all of a sudden, the key to Jesus' prayer begins to be even more clear. The glory that he wants, the glory that he wants to have revealed to humanity, is the love of the Father. He wants people to be able to see the Father's love. He wants the Father's love to be made visible to the ones that he has been called to care for. So why did Jesus die? It was a struggle for him. As you study this prayer, you will find him agonizing over the fact that he is about to leave the people that he has been sent to care for. He's pleading with his Father to preserve those that he loves because he is about to be taken off to another mission. And as Jesus prays for them, he prays a fascinating prayer. He says in verse 9, I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. And mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to you, Holy Father, keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are. So there's the prayer. That they may be one. He wants us to have an experience of community. Communion with one another. And the key to that is that we see the glory of Jesus. That we receive the glory of Jesus. Notice in verse 15. Jesus says, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. Now, why is that? Wouldn't it be nice just to be taken out of this world? You ever wished that you could just be caught up out of this mess and just leave it all behind? I do not pray, Jesus says, that you should take them out of the world. In verse 18, it says, as you have sent me into the world, I have also sent them into the world. Are you beginning to catch this theme that Jesus is praying? Saying, Father, glorify me. Give me your glory. Let me shine to this world, so this world will understand your love. Why did Jesus go to the cross? It was because at the cross, the love of the Father could be the most clearly put on display. It was at the cross where the compassion of Jesus could be made manifest to the world. It was at the cross where your sins and mine could be taken away from us because there was someone who cared so much about us that he was willing to go through the agony of the cross so that we would not have to experience the agony of our sins. Jesus had said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Look with me at verse 19. John 17 and verse 19. He says, for their sakes. Who is he talking about? It's the people that the Father has given him. It's the group that the Father has commissioned him to care for. He says, for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. So what does that mean? Jesus is saying it's for the sake of people that I have been given. It's for the sake of the people that I have been given the responsibility of caring for, that I have set myself apart. I have dedicated myself, my entire life, everything that I do, everything that I put on, everything that I think about, my entire life is dedicated to those that you have given me. Jesus had a passion, and his passion was taking care of other people. And as we think about this passion, we realize he sanctified, he set himself apart, he was completely committed and dedicated to bringing happiness to those around him. And the result was ultimate joy himself. The reason Jesus was at peace was because he wasn't trying to receive things for himself. He was trying to receive things for others. The reason he wanted to be glorified was that he could glorify his Father. The reason he wanted to be glorified was so that he could share the love of the Father with those around him. The reason Jesus went to the cross was because he loved you and I so much that he was willing to go to any length to be able to provide us with a way of experiencing his joy. So what is our mission? We have in front of us today the symbols of communion. And it's interesting to me that very often as we think about the communion service, there is a question that we ask ourselves. And that is, should I participate in this communion service? And very often the thought goes like this, well, am I worthy to participate in the communion service? Do I need to participate in the communion service? Do I want to participate in the communion service? I'm wondering if we've been asking the wrong question about this communion service. Because when I listen to the prayer of Jesus, I am hearing a theme coming through that is powerful. And that is, Jesus is not asking, do I want to? Jesus is asking, do the people for which I am responsible need me to do this? Will this help me in my desire and my efforts to minister to those who are around me? Parents, do your children need you to go through this experience of being more closely connected with Jesus Christ and having a closer communion with him? Your neighbors, your classmates, your friends, your co-workers, do they need you to go through an experience of accepting Jesus Christ in a much more tangible and real way as we go through a service that Jesus invited us to experience? The question really is not, do I want to? Jesus did not want to experience the agony of the cross, but he wanted to save you. And because he wanted to save you, he was willing to do whatever it took to be able to experience and receive the blessings of God so that he could share it with you and with me. And so today we have a calling and we have a mission. Each one of you have people that Jesus has asked you to take care of. Each one of you have a calling and a mission. And the question today is, are you willing to do whatever it takes to be able to receive that which you need to receive so that you can share that which you need to share with the people that Jesus has given you to take care of? It is my prayer today that each one of us will realize the privilege that we have of being able to share the blessings of God with others, and that we will be eager to do anything that we can, any time that we can, any way that we can, to receive the abundant gifts of God, so that we will be prepared to share those gifts with someone else. And so today I am inviting you to receive a special gift. That special gift is this communion service. It is accepting Jesus Christ in a very real and tangible way as we enter into the communion service. We will begin with the foot washing, as Jesus directed us to do that which he had done for us. That time where we serve one another and where we accept the service of one another. Following the foot washing service, we will be returning here, and we will be able to accept the symbols of Jesus' broken body and his blood that was shed for each of us. Before we do, I'd like for you to bow your heads with me as we pray. Father, today, you have given us a tremendous gift. We see Jesus going to the cross because that was the best way for us to receive your gift of love and your gift of salvation. Today, we realize that we need to receive your gift not only for us, but for those who are looking to us for direction, for those who are looking to us for guidance in their walk with you. And so today we just ask that you would give us the rich gifts that you want us to receive. And we thank you that we can trust you to provide that which we need. In Jesus' name, amen. As we separate for the foot washing service, we will have the families in the fellowship hall. We have the men in the cradle roll room and the ladies in the junior room. If you happen to be visiting with us today, ask one of us and we'll be happy to point you to the right place. And by the way, if you are someone who is visiting with us that is a Christian, not necessarily a member of this church, we just want you to know that you are welcome to join us. We practice open communion here at this church. And so we just invite you to share with us the rich gifts of Jesus Christ. May God bless each of us as we participate in this service.